So welcome everyone to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and our guest today is Madeline C. Gerwick, and our topic is timing your business for abundant profits and outrageous success. And we're going to dive into our content in a moment, but before we do, let's just take a moment. If you've been seated all day, just to stand, actually walk around, even put your arms over your head and stretch. Yeah, just kind of bring your body here. Not just the brain. And just place your feet hip width apart. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale. And on that exhale, just allow your eyes to close for a moment. Find the inner oasis. Allow your knees just to relax and soften. And shoulders just to drop. Feeling as if your fingers are touching the floor. And feeling your body dynamically move with your breath. Notice how your weight shifts forward and back on your feet as you inhale and exhale. And knowing that if you are on this call today, that there's something here for you, and you're probably going to want a pad and a pen close by to jot down some tips. And that these tips are going to help you with bringing your conscious business more and more online. I'm really excited. I met Madeline through our friend Steve Behrman, Swami Beyondananda, who when he was in my telesummit last year, he said, "You've got to talk to Madeline. She's got to be on your show." So, of course, I talked to Madeline. Yeah, and it's wonderful the work that Madeline does. And if you haven't heard of her before, she's an internationally recognized business and personal astrologer. She's a speaker and an author. And she has a BA degree with honors in economics. Really nice combo there. And is listed in several Who's Who books, including Who's Who in the World and Who's Who in America. She annually writes The Good Timing Guide, an astrological business planner, and teaches a prosperity course, The 8 Keys to the Ultimately Prosperous Business. She's also the co-author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Astrology, published by Penguin Group. And Ms. Gerwick is a contributing author to the business anthology, Einstein's Business, Engaging Soul, Imagination, and Excellence in the Workplace. Welcome, Madeline.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. We've been chatting for so long to see which of our telesummits you would be able to be on.
I know.
You know?
And I've been in quite a crunched time lately, so I'm so happy that I could make this one.
Yeah, me too. And I'm thrilled at this combination of astrology and business. I know, you know, I remember, I think it was Nancy Reagan used to consult, you know, we knew that she consulted an astrologer.
Right.
But I actually hadn't heard of this before, of, you know, using astrology for your business, so I don't know why it never occurred to me. But can you talk a little bit about how important it is to, you talk a lot about cycles in astrology and how they affect business. Can you just tell us a little bit about how these cycles impact your business?
Yes. Well, there are actually a number of ways in which cycles impact our business. Of course, the first way they impact us is much like when we ourselves are born, and we are imprinted, I would say, electromagnetically with certain astrological patterns that indicate certain tendencies and strengths and challenges for us. Our businesses are also imprinted when they are started with the state. So when you go off and get incorporated or an LLC or a sole proprietorship license, any of those kinds of things, you actually start a set of cycles that are going to play out in your business. In most cases, people are completely unaware of those cycles, and, you know, they can be quite surprising. So, you know, if you start your business at a time that happens to correspond with what your intention is for the business, it can work out very, very well. And if you happen to start it at a time which has nothing to do with what your intention for the business is, it can be quite a struggle. And there's also the potential that you could start a business during a timeout period. So that's one way in which, and timeout periods basically means nothing comes of it. And the Wall Street Journal had an article a number of years ago about a report that was done by astrologers who had looked at 1,400 bankrupt businesses, and 100% of them had started during timeout periods. So, and that, of course, leads you to, you know, some of the other cycles, which, you know, we can encounter timeouts any week. They happen on average 3 to 4 times a week. So, you know, we could be starting our latest promotion or introducing our next product or service or contacting, you know, a major customer to ask them for the order during a timeout period, and basically nothing's going to come of that. So it behooves us to know what time it really is. There are many cycles that are worth knowing about in business, and some of them are times when we're not supposed to be pushing forward. Unbeknownst to our culture, there are times when it's better for us to fix things, stop and look back and fix things and not push forward in new ways, because that's not what the energy is about. So cycles help us to know what time it is and what time is it, you know, now, in order for us to do what's, you know, what's appropriate for today. It's basically the universe's divine plan, if you will, or daily plan.
Yeah, I like that explanation in your writing. The universe's divine plan of the day.
Yes.
Yeah. And you also gave an explanation, which I had never heard before, and I'd love if you share with our listeners about around the science behind astrology.
Yes. This is quite an interesting piece of information, and I will tell you where it came from in case your listeners are interested in learning more. It was actually channeled information from Kryon, who was channeled by Lee Carroll, and it was channeled at one of the one of the summer light conferences in Mount Shasta. So I'm going to say maybe 2007 or 2006 in June when it was channeled. So you can actually go to the Kryon website and read the entire thing, and it's kryon.com. But the information about why it works is that the human DNA has, you know, we think of our double helix as strands, but actually they actually form a circle. And because they do form a circle, they actually have a current that runs through them, a very small current, of course. And because of that, you know, our DNA is always talking to the electromagnetic current of the Earth. The Earth has an electromagnetic grid around it, which is constantly in contact with our DNA. And out in space, we have the sun. And the sun is literally being patterned electromagnetically by all the other planets that are out there. And so their patterns, or what astrologers call aspects, are then transmitted via the solar wind on a fairly constant basis, if you will, from the sun to the Earth's electromagnetic grid, which then talks to our DNA. So, of course, when we're born, that particular pattern that is has just been transmitted, you know, from the sun to the Earth, that pattern is what is imprinted in our DNA. And that's why we respond to cycles as they occur, related to the pattern that we had when we were born. And so it's a very interesting methodology. It's not so much related to gravity as people have always thought, but it's related to the electromagnetics between us and the planet and the solar system.
That's amazing. That's really amazing information. And you know, explain. So, you know, sometimes intuitively we know these things, but it's always awesome when we find the explanation. There's something about that explanation that kind of makes it even more real.
Well,
you know?
And prior to that, we had Carl Jung's explanation that the universe was synchronistic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it, you know, what was happening overhead was the same energies that are happening below down here on Earth and vice versa. That in astrology was known as above, so below, and as below, so
mm-hmm.
above. And that was the best explanation we had for eons. But
yeah.
It did seem to be true. You know, for people who understood that, you know, it did seem to be true. And so until we got this most recent explanation, that's all we had to work with.
Yeah. Another thing that you talked about that I really loved and actually was kind of wowed by, even though we see the evidence of this economic revolution that's been going on in last year, they were calling it an economic downturn, but it's actually created a lot of change. I mean, people that, you know, were let go from their corporate jobs have just flooded, you know, the market with their own businesses, getting online, you know, creating all new kinds of opportunities. And one of the things that I read in your writing was this creating of a new economy. And can you talk a little bit about this new economy?
Yes. Well, first of all, this process is part of a 40-year process. So the process started in 2000, and it's going to finish in 2040. And during this time, we're changing from what people typically refer to as a bricks-and-mortar economy to an economy that's based on things like information, data, transportation, relationships, technology, and innovation. And when I say relationships, I mean, and you can actually see this quite a lot. There's a lot of what we call viral marketing out there. A lot of businesses get permission, do permission marketing via offering some kind of card. You know, you go to your grocery store, and if you have their card, they'll give you some savings,
mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. That's what they call relationship marketing. But there's also situations where, you know, you go into Barnes & Noble, as an example, and they've got a Starbucks in their store right next door. So they have alliances with, you know, certain businesses are aligning themselves together because they recognize they have the same customer. So why not put ourselves together and support each other? So those are examples of relationship marketing. And in general, you see, people don't want to be sold anymore. So when they're ready for your product or service, what they want is for somebody to give them a referral to you. They don't want to go. They don't want to go to the yellow pages. They don't want to go online. Really, what they really want is for somebody to say, "Hey, you know, if you're in the market for this, here's who I went to, and he or she or this company did fantastic." And that's a different way that relationship marketing is occurring. So those are just some examples of how the economy is changing. And, of course, you don't need to, you know, even if you work for a company now, literally you do not need to show up and do FaceTime anymore in most cases, because workers are becoming knowledge workers, and that means they can get onto the company's intranet at home and have access to all the documentation they need, you know, on their computer. And they don't need to commute, you know, an hour to work and an hour home again and waste all that time and energy when they could be putting it into the company. So you'll see companies wise up to this and start allowing more of their people to telecommute and offer these intranets at their company so that people can work at home. And that does two things for them. One is they're able to hire people from all over the world. That means they can hire the best of the best. And it makes their work more project-oriented. So they hire people for projects rather than being permanent employees. And, you know, there are benefits to that both ways, because there are fewer politics when you're hired for a project, you see, because you're just there to do that job and that's it. And and then you may be deployed to someplace else, you see, and it mm-hmm. may be a completely different company. So those are some of the ways in which, you know, the innovation and technology are changing corporations as well. And it makes people have, you know, it gives people more flexibility in their work. You know, instead of spending 2 hours in traffic, they could spend 2 hours on the, you know, on the internet, you know, or on the internet with their company, you see. And maybe they have extra time in the evening with their kids or their family, you see. So there are many different benefits to the way that the economy is changing. But because so many things have to change at once in order for the economy to make this huge transition, many people are in fear of it. And the section of this transition that we're in right now is what I call economic transformation. And this is actually a 16-year period within the 40-year period that I talked about earlier. So this one started in 2008. It's going to finish in around 2024. And during this time, it would be as though you were remodeling your house and you took down the walls and you put in new wiring and new plumbing. So if you can imagine what that looks like, that's what we're doing to the economy. And it looks pretty bad, you know, but that's not where it's going to end. That's where you're starting from, is we have an economy that's based on debt, way too much debt. And so if you were to look at a curve and you were to look at the amount of debt that we have, it would look like a J curve or a hockey stick. And so we're now in the portion of the curve where it's vertical, where the curve is vertical. And, of course, we all know what happens to vertical curves. Eventually they crash and burn. So, you know, there's not that much time left that you can sustain that level of debt. Because in order for us to sustain that level of debt, we have, you know, the bankers have to basically loan into existence all the money that would pay back the interest. So every year they have to loan into existence a higher and higher and higher level of debt in order to keep repaying the debt that's out there and pay the interest back. So everybody's loaned up, and you have no way to keep that going. It's like it's basically a Ponzi scheme, you see.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, last one left holding the bag. Oops. So, you know, we don't have the foundation of a sustainable economy. And if you look at how the economy is set up, we basically mine our natural resources and, you know, don't really charge for them in an appropriate way. And here we've used up, you know, an enormous percentage of our natural resources, and we have an enormous population. And it's, you know, the way that we're working is not sustainable. You can't keep the planet going. So the new economy has to be something that will nurture ourselves. You know, we can't be toxifying ourselves all the time. We can't be toxifying the environment. And so we have to nurture ourselves and the environment as well as create a profit. Does that make some sense? I mean, you can't be just make a profit.
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be a lot more than that.
And you know, I it's only been in the past couple of years that you've really seen, especially on the internet, you know, the proliferation of all of this language like soul-centered entrepreneur, heart-centered entrepreneur, mm-hmm. conscious entrepreneur.
Right.
And it's like all those folks who for decades we've been like in like these, you know, isolated environments are just coming out of the woodworks and, you know, really putting out their service-based work and wanting to make a difference, not only wanting to have, you know, an abundant income, but also wanting to make a difference in the work that they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the major changes that's happening as part of the economic revolution is that the work has to have more meaning. This typically happens to people when they get to about roughly 42 and they hit a personal cycle where they've spent roughly half of their lifetime meeting other people's expectations. And then, you know, they need to shift at that point over to meeting their own expectations and having more of their time and energy go into activities that have meaning and purpose for them. So your population, you see, has, you know, aged to the point where you have a larger percentage of it, you know, at 42 and older. And so that group is looking to have more than just a paycheck. They want their work to count for something, you see. And
mm-hmm.
the group that was born in the mid-60s, these people came in as a group to be social change makers. And their time is right now. Their time is starting right now. For the next 7 to 8 years, they're going to be very busy making the changes, the social changes that they came here to make. So there are a lot of energies that are going on now to create, and when I say energies, I'm saying revolutionary energies, earthquake energies, structural change energies, breakthrough and war energies, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
those are kind of our summer energies. You know, those energies are all converging this summer. And at the same time, there are many unique, unusual, and unexpected high-growth opportunities occurring at the same time. And a lot of this will happen via the Internet and new ways of doing business. So we have a very unusual summer ahead of us.
Yeah. So everyone strap on your jet boots. It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buckle up so you can keep the boots on.
Absolutely. So I know that everyone wants to hear about how these cycles are actually going to help them with their business and their profits. So can you talk about some of the cycles and how they impact your business?
Certainly. One of the most common cycles I want to start with is the timeout periods, because these actually occur every week, and they occur on average 3 times per week. Occasionally they happen 4 times per week. They can last anywhere from a few minutes to up to 2 days. Now, fortunately, we don't have too many that last 2 days. But on average, I would say they can last anywhere from 3 to 10 hours on average. And so, you know, if they happen in the middle of the night, no big deal. You're asleep. That's cool. If they happen during your work day, though, that's basically the universe telling you that, hey, this is not the time to push ahead. And one of the things I used to notice when I would walk into work, you know, in the corporation, when I was back in the corporate world, and I would walk into work during one of these days, it would feel like Night of the Living Dead. The energy was so low. Or if it suddenly would change to a timeout in the middle of a workday, I would notice that it would feel like the earth had just let out a big sigh, and the energy would drop, and everybody would practically start falling asleep at their desk. You know, and so, you know, even if you don't have a good timing guide, which is the easiest way to find out when these occur, you can start to pay attention to what does the energy feel like. You know, that's a big clue right there. And we're so trained not to think about these things, but it is so important in business, because So often we are trying to push ahead, and all we're doing is literally throwing money down the toilet. So when you sign a contract during a timeout period, or you hire somebody during a timeout period, or you call up somebody, you know, hot prospect that you're ready to close them, you know, on something, some big sale, or you know, you're going to introduce a new product, or you're going to send out a mailing, or even an emailing, you know, whatever time and energy and money it took you to do that is going down the drain, because nothing will come of it. And, you know, so what is the point in trying to push ahead during those time periods? It's really a waste. I used to track when I was at Fluke. I would track the some of the major decisions that were made by management. I sat across the room from where they made their decisions, and so I would figure out what time these things occurred and which ones occurred during timeout periods. And every time they approved a budget for a new product proposal during a timeout period, the project never made it to market ever. And that's frequently after we would spend a quarter or $500,000 on it, and then it would be canceled. So it doesn't make sense. One time we tried to change the way we manufactured one of our important product lines so as to save some money. And, you know, it got signed off during timeout period. And, shoot, we ended up having an international safety recall. 2 or 3 months later, it cost us almost $1 million to fix the problem. So there are a number of ways that our profits are lost when we're not paying attention to what time it is. And so timing from that point of view is very important. And one thing that's very interesting about timeout periods is that we're missing or we're misunderstanding some critical piece of information. And if we either had that missing information or we correctly understood that critical information, we would make a completely different decision. So what happens instead when we're making those decisions without that missing or critical information is we go down an erroneous path. And when we finally get that information, we have to scrap that erroneous path and start over at ground zero. So can you imagine how many profits are lost worldwide around the world? And this is what finally convinced me that I needed to put out some kind of a book that would show people in an easy-to-read manner that here's a time period when you shouldn't be doing these important activities, you know. So, because I finally realized there are probably billions, if not trillions, of dollars lost every year. Now, it would be interesting to know what happened on the oil spill, you know, the timing of the different decisions that were made along the way where BP said, no, we're not going to use our best practices that Transocean had recommended. We're going to do it this way to cut corners. You see, it'd be interesting to see the timing of that. We don't have all those wonderful things, you see, but there are many, many interesting examples of how timing works, not just in business, but in politics as well. For example, Al Gore was nominated by the Democratic Convention to be, you know, for the president position during a timeout. And even though he won the popular vote, he did not become president. So there's a, you know, very good example of how timing can impact very major situations that, you know, we're just not aware of, you know, how this works. And so that's one of the things for timing. Now, for timeouts, a second cycle that's really important is Mercury retrograde. Now, Mercury is a planet that represents our communications, our transportation, our schedules, you know, our appointments, all our t- telephones, emails, faxes, electronic equipment, computers, all that kind of stuff. And when it starts to move what appears to us to be backwards, we get a cycle known as Mercury retrograde. And basically, is the planet moving backwards? Not really. It just appears to move backwards to us in the same way that if you're in a fast car and you're passing a slow train, the train, when, as you're passing it, appears to move backwards momentarily. So that's where we are in space. Of course, Earth is moving too, and it appears that, you know, Mercury is moving backwards. Well, when this happens, it's basically our notice, so to speak, that it's time for us to fix things and to learn something. And, of course, we usually learn things by catching our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So there is quite a challenge in our culture related to mistakes. We have some belief, it's usually unspoken, but we believe that we should never make mistakes. It's actually a crazy idea, but it is out there in the culture, and we believe we should never make mistakes, and if we're really competent, you know, you just wouldn't make any mistakes. And so, you know, I try to discourage people from having that belief, because if we didn't make mistakes, we'd never learn anything. And so during Mercury retrograde, it's a period for us to learn something new and to catch our mistakes and fix them. And it's a great time to look back in the past and make sure we're on track for where we want to go. Now, Mercury retrogrades last from 3 to 3.5 weeks. They happen 3 times a year. They are regular as clockwork. And yet, in all the years that I did projects in corporate America, I never, ever saw a schedule, a project schedule, that anywhere in it had any room for fixing things. And yet I can tell you, you know, those cycles are going to occur 3 times a year, regular as clockwork, and when you run into one of them, you know, if you're running a project, you know, you're going to run into a period where the brakes get hit. And a lot of challenges occur during these times. It's a terrible time to introduce new products because guess what? Everybody else is uncovering their mistakes and their crises. So they don't care anything about your new product or service. And if you send out your mailing or your emailing or, you know, your promotional stuff during a Mercury retrograde, people are just going to ignore it. It'll go right directly to their recycling bin, to their it'll be deleted from their email. They'll never even open it. They'll never see it. And you can put all the money in the world into it, and it just doesn't return what you're hoping. So that's the second cycle that I try and warn people about, because you don't really want to have a situation where you're trying to do something important, such as, you know, introduce a new product or service. Now, when I was at Fluke, I just, you know, I had access to all the marketing numbers because I was in marketing. And every time we introduced a product during Mercury retrograde, we had challenges like, oh, the software wasn't correct, you know, that's a Mercury item. And so they'd put a little card in that says, you know, when you get this product, send in this card and we'll send you the correct software.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, did nothing for their quality image. And, you know, things would go, there'd be misprints on the literature. Something wouldn't be right. The manual wouldn't be right. You know, just stupid stuff like that. But the thing that was more interesting to me was that the sales would be 40% lower than their forecast. And now Fluke had, you know, major marketing companies who were doing, you know, they were spending many thousands of dollars doing focus groups and various types of marketing research. And so they had, you know, major amounts of money into figuring out what the forecast was. And for them to be 40% off, I thought, wow, how does that happen? You know, but that's what we got when people, you know, when our products would be introduced during Mercury retrograde. So from my perspective, it's much better to wait and fix the problems that are showing up and then introduce it after Mercury retrograde is over. Now, the next Mercury retrograde starts August 20th, and it lasts through September 12th. And if anyone has my good timing guide, Mercury retrograde shows up there when the bottom two lines are red. And so it's very easy to read. And the last Mercury retrograde that we had was between April 18th and May 11th. So you can see these are very regular patterns. And another cycle that's very useful to know about in business is Venus retrograde. Now, Venus retrograde is going to happen this fall, and Venus represents money and credit, our pricing. It represents the value that we give to our products and services and the value that customers give to our products and services. And it's also very much related to our relationships. So that can be relationships with customers, it can be relationships with employees and managers, it can be relationships with vendors. And oftentimes during Venus retrograde, we have situations arise where it becomes noticeable that a relationship of some sort is not working out. And so you're either going to fix it at that point or you're going to end it. And this happens on the personal level too. You commonly hear about people deciding that they're going to separate or divorce during Venus retrograde. It's very common to hear about people making that decision during that time. And Venus retrograde lasts for about 6 weeks. It's going to start this year on October 8th, and it lasts through November 18th. So it's about 6 weeks. This one only happens once every 19 months. So thank goodness. Doesn't happen that often. And it's a great time, actually, to go back through and recost your products and reprice your products. Not a good time to introduce the new prices. Wait until the period is over to introduce them. This year, because it ends like November 18th. My own thought is that you introduce new prices for 2011 because it's so close to the beginning of the new year. So you might have some special that you run through the holidays and then you introduce your new pricing for the beginning of the year. And this particular cycle, if you ignore it and you introduce new products during it, is really rough. Because when you introduce a new product during Venus retrograde, people, you know, the customer does not value the product or service at the same price that you do. Not a good situation for introducing a new product. So it's much, much more effective if instead of introducing the new product, you will take it out and beta test it with several of your top most likely type of customers. And then, you know, get some feedback and get some feedback on the pricing and the value of the product to them. Then you know where to come in with the pricing. You know, but wait until after Venus retrograde is over before you introduce the product. You know, collect all this data and really figure it out. Now, this year is challenging for stuff at the end of the year because we have, you know, Venus retrograde in October and November, and we have first half of September is Mercury retrograde. So it's a tough period for new products and services. But it can be a good time to reintroduce a product or service that you've already got out there. You dust it off, you give it a new jacket or some new some new graphics or something, and put it out there again. And perhaps it's, you know, there's many times when a product or service was introduced earlier, and it just, it didn't take off because it wasn't the right time. I mean, it wasn't, you know, people weren't ready for that. They weren't in that market yet. You know, my company, for example, started putting out these new tools back in, oh, like around 2002, 2003. But here we are in 2010, and the market is just now ready for these kinds of new tools that, that we offer. So that's another cycle to pay attention to. And then Mars retrograde we had earlier this year. And Mars represents our motivations. It represents the actions that we take in order to achieve our goals and strategies that we've set for ourselves. And when Mars is retrograde, it's actually the time for us to go back and literally think about where we're headed for the next 2 years. This is a two-year cycle. It actually occurs once every 27 months, and it lasts for 10 to 11 weeks. So it seems like a very long cycle. But actually, for what you have to do, it's from a business point of view, it's our strategic planning cycle. So this suggests that we should be doing our planning in two-year cycles. You see, not 1 year, not 5 years, but 2 years. And having worked with this cycle myself for several go-arounds, I actually like it much better than trying to do an annual or a five-year plan. So because you can't really see any further out than 2 years anyway. And even nowadays, it's hard to even see out 2 years. So, you know, it hardly makes any sense to go 2 years. But 1 year goes by so fast that, you know, you'd constantly be in planning mode if you had to do it every year. So we had that cycle earlier this year. It's been an interesting year. Actually, it started last year, and I want to say, I want to say in November, either late October or November, and it lasted through January 15th. It lasted through March 10th. So actually, I think this was the one that started December 26th, I think. This one, Mars retrograde started last year. So that the beginning part of our year, if you think about that period for yourself, you may recognize that there was a lot of rethinking about where to go, what direction to take, how to get there, that kind of stuff. And it's actually a very useful cycle, but it is terrible for introducing new products. And when I was at Fluke, we once tried to introduce a new product during Mars and Mercury retrograde, and we got our sales were 15% of the forecast. That's 15% of the forecast. So it was quite a disaster.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if now might be a good time to give folks some good times. Like I know folks are thinking about launching products, you know, when to approach joint venture partners, you know, let's say if they're ready to make their business official and get an LLC. What are the particularly good times to do things like that?
Well, there are things in the good timing guide that show you good days when they're what I call either high growth or good money days. Those are when green dollars appear. And we just started a long green dollar period today, and it's going to last through June 16th.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So right now, we have a particularly good period, I'd have to say. In my opinion, it's the best period we have for launching some products through the rest of this year. And because, you know, there are certain energies that are going on that are unusual, and one of those energies is that we have Uranus in Aries. It hasn't been there in 84 years, well, actually since 1927 was the last time it entered Aries. And this is all about new technologies, new innovations, things that are, I mean, very unusual that can get started at this time. So if you happen to have something that's related to something, you know, new technology, something innovative, something unusual, could be something metaphysical, could also be something related to computers, to utilities, energy work of any sort. And that can be, you know, including, you know, like I said, electrical energy. And it could be related to broadcasting, the internet, any of those areas. And it would now would be an excellent time for it to be introduced and taking off. Now, the thing to know about, you know, I've given you a very broad range here from June 3rd to June 16th, but not every day is a day that has what we call a good final result. So it's better if you can have a, if you can choose your date to have a good final result. And in my good timing guide, that's the top line. When that top line is green, you know that when the project finishes, you know, whatever you're introducing or starting, when the project finishes, you're getting what you expected. You're not disappointed with the results, and you're not, you know, the deal doesn't fall out. You know, so if you see orange top line in my good timing guide, it means that something's falling out. It's not coming together the way you think it will. And so you want to use that piece of information along with, you know, the green dollar, and make sure you're doing it on a day that will give you the best final result. Now, on my website at PolarisBusinessGuides.com, there is a free, you can look at today's guide for free, and that will show you, you know, what we have in the good timing guide. And so for that day, so you can look it up each day and see it for free. And that gives you some hint of what's happening. And it gives you a little bit of information there, too, about how to interpret the different codes that we show you. So this period is exceptionally good right now. Then in the summer, we're going to have that period that I talked about earlier where everything's converging. That starts a little bit later in June, like around the 21st of June. And so things start to converge at that point, and we start, and they converge even more in late July and then August. So things start to get very exciting, you know, from about June 21st on, we start having a lot of very, very dynamic energy, which suggests that we could see a lot of major changes occur this summer. And a lot of what we need to do is to really be flexible. And things that we may think we knew may not turn out to be true at all. And so we have to be open to finding out, you know, oh, here's a different technique that might supersede something I was doing. You see? And so it's not that you can't introduce things this summer, because you can, but there'll be a lot of dynamic energies to make a lot of changes. And so things will happen very, very rapidly this summer. And we should see changes in the economy as well.
So we're in for some...
A little bit.
we're going to be in for some fun. That sounds great. We do have a question here from Ruth Ellen in Jacksonville, Florida. She says, how important is our natal chart? Can such a chart be done for a business?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. A natal chart can be done for a business, and it's based on the date that you start it with the state. And however you start it with the state is, you know, like a LLC or a incorporation, a sole proprietorship, etc. If you don't have any kind of legal license with the state, then from an astrological point of view, you don't have any bones to your business, and you don't actually have a business. You might have a hobby, but you don't have a business. So yes, you can do that, and it gives you a lot of very important information about your company, when to help it grow, when to hold back, when, you know, what's happening with your employees, with your products and services, with your finances. Everything in a business shows up in the natal birth chart of the company. And so it, the time that you start a company, and sometimes I see company charts that are so bad, I just end up recommending to the person that they restart the company at a better time. And that is one great advantage to a business. You can reincorporate, you can set it up with a slightly different structure in the same state, or you can reincorporate it in a different state. I mean, there are lots of different ways to do that. So there are options that way for businesses.
So if someone were to formalize, let's say, after they just heard that if they don't have some kind of legal entity, that their business isn't a legal entity, that it's a hobby, someone may decide on this call, wow, I better formalize my business entity. And they want to do it this summer. Any good dates for formalizing their business entity?
Yes. But let me just explain here. And those dates are coming up very, very soon. So what I would recommend is that if somebody is looking for something like that, that they contact me very soon to get a date and time, because it's the time of the day that tells what the products and services are, what the finances are, what the management and employees are like, you know, how the company is seen by the public. And, you know, what the company's reputation is, what their legal situations will be, and so on and so forth. Even to the point it will tell what their facility will be like and where it will be located. So what I do when I'm, you know, working with a company to get a date like that, a date and time, is I'm sending them out a list of questions, and I need to be able to see what it is they're trying to create so that I can make essentially a map in the sky that looks like that company. You see, it's not good enough to have a good date for a company, because you can actually have a good date and have a terrible financial time.
Ah, okay.
So you really have to have a time. And if a company doesn't work for the finances, it's just not going to work. So, you know, it doesn't make sense to... You know, my good timing guide, I mean, you can get a guide and you can look in there and you say, oh, here's a good date, here's a good date, here's a good date. But without a time, you know, you're just playing dice. You know, you're just gambling, you know, will this work or not? Because it's, you know, it's the time that really shows what the finances of the company are going to be and all those things that I just mentioned. And
okay.
It's pretty complex, so I always recommend for people to... actually get a date and time to do that with their state. And generally speaking, they're going to have a fairly short window. It's probably going to be, it depends on the location, but it's going to be roughly a 10-minute window that they'll have to start their company with the state.
No pressure, Madeline.
But, you know, it's interesting because everyone that's ever done this has managed to get it done.
And that's great.
Yeah, so I give people some techniques for doing it, and it works. So
awesome. We've got another question from Kathy in Atlanta. If we already started our business, how can we find out if it was started at the right time or not?
Well, you can have a business consultation, and that's another great thing to do to find out, you know, what your company, you know, how does it look? You know, how does that company chart look for your company? And is it producing what you want it to produce? And, you know, sometimes we started at a relatively good time, and other times we started at a relatively terrible time. So it just depends on how good our intuition was, you know, on something like that.
Awesome. Well, I know that you have the offer of the Good Timing Guide for the folks here.
Yes, I do. And we are offering the Good Timing Guide for 2010. We have a $9 special on this. This is the printed book starts off at $24.50. And so we're offering it at $9 while supplies last. because we are almost halfway through the summer. But as I said, it starts at $24.50, so we've knocked it down to below half price just so that people can try it and see how well it impacts their businesses. And then the other thing I will mention to people is I do a radio show every week. It's called Cosmic Connections with Madeline. And you can find out what I'm going to talk about each week on my website or on the DrPatShow.com website. But each week, because I'm on the radio, I'm telling people what's up in the heavens for the week. And so I offer this information to people. You can sign up for it for free on my website. Just look for the link for what's up in the heavens. And you can get in your email on Fridays what the cycles are for the coming week, so you can be aware of what time it is. And so that gives you more of the longer trends and what exactly the various cycles are, so you have a better idea of what's going on.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So, folks, just so that you know what Madeline's website is, it's Polaris Business Guides with an S .com. And so when they order the guide for $9, are they going to the link that you gave me or are they going to the website?
Either one. They can go either one.
Okay.
Either one. Eventually they'll get to the Polaris store, and that's where the $9 price is. It's at the Polaris store. But either link will take them there.
Okay, wonderful. So I will. There's a link on the speaker page. If folks want to click on that, that'll take you there. You can also just go to PolarisBusinessGuides.com and check out the guide there. You can also sign up for the show announcements for the show there.
Right, on the homepage.
On the homepage.
On the homepage or on the radio page. There's a link on the radio page for the Cosmic Connections radio show. And the radio show is every Friday. It's heard on 300 cable radio stations, CBS radio in Boston, New York, and Detroit, and in Seattle on KKNW. So it's heard on a relatively large number of places, but you can listen to it anywhere in the world online as well. And so, and it's at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, every Friday for 30 minutes.
Wonderful. And they can also get the daily good timing calendar on your website also, so they can get a...
Yeah, the Today's Guide, yeah.
Yeah.
Right there on the homepage at PolarisBusinessGuides.com.
Yeah.
Polaris is spelled P-O-L-A-R-I-S. Business is spelled regular, guides with an S on it, .com.
Yeah. Madeline, thank you. That was a lot of information.
Well, I hope I didn't overwhelm anyone. I hope that you will check out to see. The Good Timing Guide is actually color-coded, so you don't need to know any astrological symbols at all. And, you know, it's easy to read and gives you all the information for how to interpret it. And in the back of the guide, there's a quick reference code. And in the middle of the guide, there are easy-to-use recommended practices for different types of work and activities that we all do.
Yeah, it's great. I've got my handy-dandy guide right here, and there's little icons for, you know, new starts for marketing, for communications, for contracts. It's just,
right.
There's just so much information that you can get from looking at this guide. It's great. So, Madeline, thank you so much for being at the Conscious Business Telesummit. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you come back, because I know that you speak on several different topics.
Yes, I do, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm really happy, and I am sure that my listeners are enjoying every bit and have gotten all kinds of great information, especially all that, you know, you've totally reframed Mercury retrograde for me. I think a whole bunch of us roll our eyes when we say, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. You know, and so
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, so to understand that, you know, that the Mercury retrograde is actually a purpose and a function, and we can actually work with it instead of, you know, railing against it. Yeah.
It's so much easier to know what time it really is and to be in harmony with it.
Yeah, well, you've also reframed what time is it. There's a new meaning to that for me. So thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you next week. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.